It is the Locked On Bengals podcast with your hosts Joe Goodberry and Jake Lisco. Find us on Twitter at Joe Goodberry and at Jake_NFL. Please like, subscribe, and share as we try to grow this community and pump out daily Bengals content just for you.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Today we have our final. We're finally here. The draft is tomorrow. Thank God. I am so ready for this draft to happen. And what that means is that we're at the final of Mock Madness. And just before we get into the rest of the show, another reminder that this podcast is currently sponsored by Abco Safety. We don't have a new product to talk to you about today. Check out the live show tomorrow, and if you miss it, the upload after that for the next product that we're going to promote. But you can still call Abco Safety at 513-672-1818 and mention Locked On Abco for your 15% discount off your first order. So make sure you do that. Support the local business. Support the podcast. Now let's get back to talking about Mock Madness. The players you want are players that are unlikely to be there at 11. It's really the final question, the pairing of Devin White against Ed Oliver is, who do you want to either unexpectedly fall to the Bengals or who do you want them to trade up for? And let's imagine that they're trading up to say 8 or 7, right, which means they're giving up maybe a third round, maybe a third and a fourth, maybe next year's fourth, who knows? But they're not giving up necessarily the second round pick to go all the way up to say 5 or 4.
Right. So that's what how you got to think about it. Let's say Oliver or White get there. And I thought about this today as the recent rumors, reports, whatever this is called, the day before the draft, where things start to get, it's kind of a weird balance of, is this a straight up smokescreen diversion, or is this what's happening and teams are setting their boards and starting to make moves? And I tend to lean that way, especially with 24 hours to go.
And but it's like 50-50, right?
Right.
Some of them are legitimate. Like, there's all this talk about Washington wanting to trade up for Daniel Jones today, and we'll find out tomorrow.
And another report really said Haskins,
Daniel Jones. So. Yeah,
they said they're smitten with Haskins, and that. But then the other one was that Washington is ready to break the draft and move up as high as possible to get their guy, which great. Chaos works in our favor, and then chaos starts when they start trading up and taking quarterbacks. If we can get some of these teams that are going to take our guy, whether that be you guys are going to vote on it, Oliver or White, to get them to get behind Cincinnati, go to 15, let's say, with Washington, that's a good thing. I've heard the Bucks are interested in trading down from 5, that the at 8, the Lions are interested in trading down, but I've heard that's for a team that wants to come up and get a tackle. Same with Buffalo at 9, if they don't get their guy, which maybe Ed Oliver, they'd like to move back a few spots and get Christian Wilkins. So if those things happen and teams come up and take tackles or in quarterbacks, guess what that leaves for the Bengals? Potentially Ed Oliver. Don't think it's going to happen at all. I still think he goes top 5. But I started doing my mock, my final mock for The Athletic that'll come out tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening. And I did that scenario, and guess who was there at 11? Devin White. And I said, well, this doesn't make any sense. Let me throw this out and do it again. But then I was looking at it, and I'm not going to end up with Devin White, so I'm telling you. And I just go, yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen. Is it the Bucks only? And then who else will take him? It could happen. And I think the Broncos are still stuck on Devin Bush at 10. Everyone, you look at everyone's final mock, they've got Devin Bush to the Broncos at 10. And if that's the case, they might take him over White still, and White could be there at 11. Best case scenario, but still, we're talking mock madness here. You got to choose who in that scenario would you like to trade up and go to number 8? Who do you want most, the Bengals, to either go up and get or possibly fall to Cincinnati at 11?
And that's your choice. Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle we've talked about a lot on this podcast. We were in love with him for a lot of the draft process. He was falling to 11 routinely in the mock drafts we did because somebody has to fall. I mean, somebody doesn't have to fall. What's the worst case scenario? It goes Kyler Murray first, Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa, whatever his name is, Allen, White.
The worst case scenario is that only one quarterback goes.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to name it, right? Like it's three tackles, two linebackers, one quarterback, and all the top end defensive linemen.
Right.
That's the worst case for the Bengals, right?
The worst case is they end up and they say, Andre Dillard, Juwan Taylor, or Montez Sweat or Rashard Gary, you know, right? And those aren't terrible options.
No, Dillard's gone in the worst case. You're deciding between probably Brian Burns, maybe Montez Sweat, and Cody Ford. And Rashawn Gary.
Sure. I guess if Taylor, Jonah Williams, and Dillard all go
those
ahead.
Those are the three that are gone.
If that happens, then it could happen. Yeah, then you're choosing between Cody Ford. But I think that's when they lean defense in that scenario and say, okay, we'll take Montez Sweat.
And there's been a lot of talk from, I mean, especially since Dave Lapham brought it up, that the Bengals want to trade back too. They want to pick up a third rounder maybe. Maybe they want to get, because then you get four guys in the top 100 maybe, depending on how far back they go. Maybe that's something they're interested in. Sure. And if a quarterback falls, then as Justice Mosqueda pointed out and we've talked about, that 11th overall pick for a quarterback is immensely valuable due to the fifth-year option being much cheaper. And if only one quarterback goes somehow and the Bengals want to trade back at that point, then you get money.
They would have suitors if that happened. Yeah. Because I do think the Giants could be looking to move up from 17 to get their guy also. So they're in a weird situation. Giants are going to either be forced to move up from six and try and get ahead of the Redskins, or call the Redskins bluff, take their guy at six, or move up from 17 and take their guy. So I think the Giants could be movers also. It'll be interesting, though, but I think the Bengals will have suitors as long as there's a quarterback still there at 11.
It'll be really fascinating to see, I think. There are a multitude of really interesting scenarios that have been thrown out in the last couple of days. Maybe the Bengals will shock the world and trade up, right? Who knows? It's unlikely, I think. But if you're talking about, and this is a question you posed me today, Joe, would you rather have Ed Oliver or Devin White and Cody Barton? Or would you, what was it? What was the alternative? Montez Sweat?
Or yeah, well, it was Montez Sweat and Barton.
Cody Barton, right?
Right. Let's say it's Cody Barton in the third.
Exactly. Which I shot back at you and said nobody has him in the third, and you're like, well, Gil Brandt has him in the third, and so do we, I think. Do we?
Well, we don't have a lot of players, so ranking wise, he's in the third. But you know, we only have 200 players.
He's a pretty solid grade, though.
He does. He's not a bad prospect at all, actually.
He probably grades out more like a
fourth.
More like a fourth, yeah.
Yeah. And it may be the fourth round. My point was, and you can use last year's third round picks because they had two, both on the opposite end of the spectrum, right? Hubbard had a fine third round rookie year, and Malik Jefferson gave them nothing. His fault or not, we don't know. But they got nothing out of him as a rookie year. So using that third round pick, thinking of the different ways it could go. It could be Tyler Croft and Paul Dawson. It could be Michael Johnson was a great third round pick, right? So it could be a lot of things. Point being, that could get you Ed Oliver or Devin White. In your opinion, is that worth it?
Yeah, that gets pretty tricky. When you actually think about the real history of third round picks, and you have to kind of remove yourself from the mock draft process, the simulators that exist, because in the third round in the simulators, it's a gold mine.
Yeah.
You can have anybody you want in the third round in these simulators. Almost always there's going to be players you love there. That usually isn't how the real draft works out. And even if it is, those guys are falling because of who knows why reasons. Sometimes they shouldn't be falling. Sometimes they should be falling. And the right. Bengals aren't going to pick those guys that you want them to pick in the third round anyway.
Might be Ja'Kai Polite in the third round. So use that name. I mean, there's a guy who failed every filter, and it's probably very similar to Paul Dawson, but someone you like on tape. And is that worth the bet? Or would you rather just move up and go get a guy that you think is a blue chip prospect that fills a position and plays right away? And the difference between taking a Montez Sweat or an Andre Dillard, I think.
Yeah. So today's poll. Let's summarize this section. We really went on a nice tangent there. Today's poll is the final of the Locked On Bengals Mock Madness series. Would you rather have, and if it's trading up or an unlikely fall, Ed Oliver or Devin White?
Yep. These are your last two guys. These are who you voted for throughout the process. Each time you guys felt they beat their competition, these are two guys that you want, the top guys. Who's number one? And that comes with the caveat also of if they're attainable and how to make sure they're attainable by Bengals moving up a couple spots.
Maybe they have to. What are we going to talk about for the rest of the show, Joe? We have a little bit of news coming out of Paul Brown Stadium. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about your Bengals top 100 that released, and we'll talk about the Shadow Team project. So stay tuned for all those things. Next up will be some news, and we'll make fun of the Steelers a little bit too. That'll always be fun. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Locked On Bengals podcast. We are just about 24 hours away from when the Bengals will pick as we're recording this right now. Or no, it'd be more around kickoff time of the first pick. So a little bit early there, 25 hours away maybe. Anyways, what are we talking about today, Jake?
We got some news first. Paul Brown Stadium reports that Zach Taylor called John Taylor.
Ooh, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh my God. I got a new job yesterday. I started yesterday, guys, and I'm tired. Can you tell? Anyway, Zach Taylor called John Ross to tell him, we're not going to trade you, when those trade rumors are going around last week. And John Ross talked about it. And John Ross said some other things that were pretty interesting, talking about having seen LA film. Joe, you read this article. What did it say?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And he said, because coaches can't talk to players too much, can't have too much contact, or at least they really can't talk about the playbook until this week. And he said all he had to do was watch Rams film, which, of course, we hope the offense sound, it looks like. And I think the fact that the players went back and watched, because Andy Dalton said he did too, Rams tape, is pretty telling that this offense could be very, very similar. And I think we hope it is. But point being is, and Dalton said this as well, that if you look, all three receivers for the Rams would have had 1,000 yards if Cooper Kupp didn't get hurt. And John Ross talked about that, how the receiver room's kind of buzzing about the opportunities, and it's a fresh start. And he's also on a new training regimen to be more durable and healthy and stronger. But he is hurt right now with tightness, not practicing currently. And Ross is training with TJ Hushmanzada, running routes with him like he did last year. So that's positive news.
It's always good to hear the guys are working with TJ Hushmanzada, one of my favorite Bengals of all time, to answer that question that we get a lot. Really great runner. I always said TJ was like a running back after he caught the ball. Hard to bring down. Really good after the catch.
He was so good at running routes. Him and Carson Palmer, those Y option routes in the slot, where they would basically break it off different areas depending on the coverage. They were unstoppable together. I mean, yeah, that's – it is part that I want him to learn, that mental aspect of running routes with from TJ. But I also want him – I want him to – there were times last year he just wasn't snapping his routes off physically, and he has that ability where TJ didn't. So I do kind of wonder about the mix, but the mental part of it, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And also news today – the Bengals picked up the fifth-year option for former first-round pick William Jackson III. I think we all expected this. This is not surprising in the least. Jackson, we hope, will sign an extension. He's easily the best corner on the team. And back there with Jesse Bates in the secondary, you feel good about the future of the Bengals secondary. You have at least two of your five pieces.
Did they say how much that was, the fifth-year option? I imagine it's got to be about $9.5 or $10 million. Thinking of what Denard was this past year, was $8.8 million, I believe.
Then it's probably a little bit more, right? Because they're
right,
picked
2 years
the
later
spot.
Now.
Yeah, so probably what, $9.8 million, maybe $1 million more?
Maybe, yeah. It's got to be in that range, though, which is a good deal, because I think when he's ultimately extended, if he continues to play well the next 2 years, we're looking in the 13, 14, 15, maybe even more by that time range. So $9 million is not bad.
So last year for a corner that was picked 11 to 32 is $9 million. So went up $2 million. So somewhere in the $9 to $9.5 million range.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's fine.
Yeah.
Still a good deal.
Oh yeah. Can't be mad. And that's for next year, right? Cause this is his fourth year.
Yes. So it's
so
still
we have
two more years.
Yeah. Okay. Just to be clear. The last bit of news we'll talk about today in the AFC North is that the Steelers gave Ben Roethlisberger a hilarious extension that totals $34 million a year over the next 2 years. He's making $12 million this year, and then for 2020, 2021, $34 million a year. The team's falling apart around him. They will absolutely need to hit these drafts out of the ballpark, I think, to make him relevant. Especially, I mean, the Steelers are going to win games, but I'm talking like relevant in late January and February. They have a lot of work to do, I think, to sell me that they're going to be there.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defense is poor. I think they have missed way too many high draft picks recently. And they're lucky that they find a John Connor to replace Le'Veon Bell. They're lucky that Juju Smith-Schuster is able to step into a role now. I don't know if he's the number one, but he's going to be able to step into the role and get a buttload of targets without Antonio Brown being there. I do think they address wide receivers somewhere early in this draft, but still, they need to stop messing around and they need to hit it. Now, I don't want them to, right? I hope they draft the worst player available every time and continue to do exactly what they're doing, because handing Big Ben, who did not have a good year last year, that type of money is not the way I would try to build my team at his age.
You know, I was just trying to look back and see how did we, because Smith-Schuster was a second round pick and he wasn't really, right, second round?
He was, yeah. And nobody John Ross really, was in the first.
Right, and nobody really talked about Smith-Schuster as a first round guy, maybe early in the process, and then his testing was mediocre. He had a, 50th percentile, give or take, athlete. Yep. And I just went and looked on playerprofiler.com. Mm-hmm. His breakout age, 94th percentile. That's yep. the one big metric in his favor.
It's funny because
everything
Jake
else
and I,
is average.
Yeah, when we've gone through our wide receiver grading, Jake, he goes, well, why are we putting so much weight on the breakout age? And I say, well, look at it. You know, it can overcome a lot of things. You can have average testing, but if you're a 21-year-old, it's kind of like you're still growing into your body. If you're a 23-year-old with average testing, you're maxed out. It's kind of a situation with Tyler Boyd. He didn't have great testing either, but his breakout age also was a very high percentile. So he was able to, 2 years later, we see, okay, there was still a little bit more to him. Here he is now.
DeAndre Hopkins was the closest comparable on playerprofiler.com for Juju Smith-Schuster, although
interesting.
Hopkins was a more dominant and the dominator, quote unquote, the percentile based, the market share based metric. He was better. He was more productive in college, worse athlete, but had a 99th percentile breakout age.
Yeah, that's funny how that works, right? The breakout age has a strong correlation for receivers.
Anyway, the only reason that I look into any of that is because I'm like, man, how do we miss it? Because it's draft season, right? So I'm thinking about how did we miss on Juju Smith-Schuster the way we did? Because when they took him in the second round, I was like, yeah, whatever. He's going to be just a guy. And now he's gone on to be one of the better slot players in the league. And now I'll have to play outside. And we'll see. Will he have to play outside?
No. Your number one can be in the slot.
Okay.
You know? Sure. You know fine. That. And,
yeah, I do.
So, and it's also, a lot of people talk about Juju now 2 years, 3 years later. And because think of the teams in the first round that went Corey Davis, Mike Williams, John Ross. I mean, in hindsight, you take Juju. All those teams do. And so, yeah, we all don't like Juju either. I know this. I understand this. If you're listening to this right now, say, why are we talking about the Steelers so much? Well, you keep an eye on your enemy. You keep them close so that you can beat them, hopefully, one day, please.
And more than anything, I'm talking about it because it's an exercise in looking back at what went wrong a couple of years ago, right? And like, earlier today, I messaged Joe, man, we have Deebo Samuel lower than I thought he would be, because I went back and I did our rankings for our what would the Bengals do draft. I'm like, why is Deebo Samuel so low amongst our wide receivers? Because he had good testing, good production, good testing. He has a good film grade. He has, good enough size, average size, I guess. But his breakout age was 47th percentile, and that's really weighing him down. And that's not to say that he can't go on and be really good, but this is why N'Keal Harry is at the top of our list, and it's because of that breakout age. He's the only one with a breakout age percentile higher than 90. So maybe he has some issues to work on, but he has time to do it. That's the thought process anyway.
And if you saw my board today, it went out on The Athletic. Not only was it what I project the Bengals board to look like, and I'll be honest, I'll toot my own horn for just 1 second. If you would have followed my board the last 3 years, it would have said they're taking William Jackson, John Ross, Billy Price. And I know we get spoiled because Dave Lapham seems to know the pick every time. But building the board, in my opinion, is a great exercise for me to give me a really good idea of who they expect to be there and who I think they'll pick. So go check that out and see, because let's say we're right now, the official pick from Lap is Andre Dillard. But if Dillard goes number 8, where do the Bengals go? And I think that's why the board is important to go look at. And attached to that also is Jake and I's board that we've worked on for the last few months. And there's over 200 players. I think I showed the first 150 or so. But I will update that during the week after day one, after day two, after day three, to really see the remaining players and who's best available. So check that out on The Athletic.
And that's especially interesting for us, Joe, because you've been doing this for a few years now. You've been drafting along, essentially. And for a while, you were just picking in the middle of the first round. And I told you one year, that's a dumb idea. You're shafting yourself. No team that's constantly picking 16th is ever going to hit it. And you didn't even have free agency to help bolster the team, right? So you're relying on hitting only draft picks in the middle of the draft. You're never getting a blue chip player, or almost never getting a blue chip player. So I told you, you got to find a way to get yourself picking higher and then picking more realistic to the skill level on your team. So let's talk a little bit about the shadow teams, but only after we take a break.
Okay, we'll do that.
To take a break. I'm tired, man. I'm working now. I'm a working man.
Yeah, I see it.
We'll be right back.
It is the Locked On Bengals podcast, and this is the last segment of today before we really get into tomorrow's show, and I think that's what everyone's waiting for. But we want to talk about a few things. One thing first, big thing, a lot of people have asked on Twitter for a long time. This is the first time I've ever really talked to an audience about what I've done for now, I want to say, 6 or 7 years. It may even be 8. I have to look and see when the first time I did it. It might have been 2012. Anyway,
has your team ever made the playoffs, Joe?
No, I mean, I've only started simulating them. And let me tell you what's doing. We call it a shadow team, okay? And if you want to participate in this, basically what we do is we draft while we're watching the draft. So you're watching it on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If you're going to pick 20th, 1st, 10th, wherever you decide you want to start drafting your shadow team, and I suggest starting it in the middle round. That's where I did. I actually started like an expansion team where you had 2 picks in every round, but I took them 15, 16 back-to-back every round. I did that for 3 years to try and build up the roster to give me a nice little push and start. Now
expansion
I do
teams get the first overall pick in their first year. I think they get 2 picks in the first round?
They get the first and last pick.
Oh, that's what you should do in the first year, I think, if you're listening and you're going to start it this
then
year.
Fine. Then do that. But
that's my idea.
I just did it because I thought I'd draft a superstar. I can't remember. I think it was Andrew Luck that year. That's why I didn't do it. It was 2012. That is the sole reason why I didn't start with number one. Okay. Because then my team would be making the playoffs. Anyways. So
after you dealt with a year of injury. But yeah, continue.
Yes, right. So let's say you're picking 15th, you're watching the draft, you've got a board, whether you download Dane Brugler's or check ours or whatever you're going to use, find someone's draft board, use the consensus board from Arif Hasan. That would be probably give you a good idea. Anyways, so when 15th comes up, the Redskins are on the clock. You got to make your pick live. You say, okay, I'm taking Cody Ford. I'm going to start with an offensive lineman. And that's your pick. And that you slot them on the roster. You go in the second round, same thing. You're picking 15th. You pick whoever you want at that spot. The idea is to look at it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line and say, you know, I really missed on that in the first round. I should have taken this guy, or I should have drafted this position, whatever the case may be. Or you look back and say, man, yeah, look at the steal I got in the 6th round. Anyways, my team is full right now. I've got a full roster for the most part. I don't have a punter, but I'm not drafting a punter, so I don't have one. Anyways, I can simulate them in Madden. I've got a full roster. I can put them on there. My team is picking 9th this year because I think we went 7-9 2 years in a row. I think I picked 8th last year, 9th this year. Team is not very good. It's like Kirk Cousins. I had Kareem Hunt, but he kicked a girl in the hotel, so now I don't have a running back. And right, these things happen on your team. It's kind of like fantasy.
That's
not
funny. I'm sorry.
No, that part's not funny. You're laughing at me because I had a good player, and then he's stupid. So this is the situation I'm in a bad class where I can't draft a running back anytime. Anyways, point being, it's a lot of people have asked because it sounds fun. And I don't know if I made it sound fun, but I can, you know, play it up on Twitter and people think it looks like a good time. So I urge you guys to try it. Decide where you want to pick. I picked in the middle of the rounds. You don't have to. Pick 10 and 20 if you want to. Want to make it harder for you where you're not automatically picking an elite player at the top.
Let's do this. Let's say easy. Let's have 3 difficulty levels. Make it like a video game. Easy, you're picking 5th and 25th.
Okay.
Regular, normal difficulty, let's say 10th and 25th.
Or 10th and 20th. And then...
Well, but then that kind of makes... that we don't want to make it... Okay, so maybe easy is like 5th and 18th.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, okay, so you get higher picks for each one, right?
Yeah. So medium would be like 5th and 20th, and hard would be
15 and 30.
15 and 30, yeah. Hard would be very hard. Hard to get off the ground picking 15 and 30. And eventually you have to stop picking in two rounds every year, right?
Yeah, he went 3 years doing three that years. To try and get the roster up there, or else you're going to have guys retiring before you even get a roster put together.
Because there's no free agency in this exercise.
Exactly, there isn't. And I wanted to make it just about drafting and see how good you would actually be doing the exercise. So other people have done this now around the NFL fan bases, I should say, NFL Twitter, and they pick for where their team is drafting. So if you want to take the Bengals and say, all right, we're just going to pick 11th, I'm going to take who I think they should take. So that's another way to do it also. So it's really up to you. But if you guys participate, let us know. Tweet us at the Lockdown account. Tell us who you take each round or after the 7 rounds are done. Tweet us who you drafted. You'll see ours also. But I picked 9th this year, and I'm hoping a good player falls the same way the Bengals are.
Here's the rules, though. You have to make your pick live. If you don't, if you don't make your pick live, don't tell us after the whole draft has happened and say, I don't know, Montez Sweat somehow drops into the 3rd round and you pick him in the 3rd round. Like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all. You would have picked him in the 2nd round.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So announce your picks at least, 10 minutes after the pick. Publish that. Put it on Twitter. Make it visible so I don't have to call you on your bullshit.
Yeah, because in year 3 for me, I missed a chunk of the draft, right? And I was concerned, how am I going to do this? I actually wasn't looking at it at all because I was invested at this time. And I said, how am I going to still participate? I don't want to miss out on a few rounds here. It was in the middle, and I was on vacation. I just got married. Anyways, so what I did was I pulled up the review, a draft, the draft ticker, and I trusted myself. I said, I'm not going to look ahead. I'm only going to scroll down slowly. When I get to my pick, I'm going to make my pick. And I ended up taking someone, and it might have been Deron Smith here, where I took him, he didn't go into the 7th. I took him in the 3rd or 4th, whatever it was. And so you've got to trust yourself if you're going to do that. But I think until you're invested, it's dangerous to do it. I say try to do it live. If you can, that is that is what we're trying to do. It's the object of the game is to draft live on the spot. I took Malice Jack in the 1st round a couple of years ago. He didn't go into the 2nd round. So, it happens. Those things are going to happen to you.
So where should I pick this year, Joe? You've seen my team. I don't have a quarterback. Mason Rudolph, Nick Schimanek are my 2 quarterbacks. I don't have any running backs, literally at all. Should I go 5 and 15 this year? Give myself a chance to dig out of the hole, and then next year start going middle rounds.
Rounds. Especially because we'll be recording at that time tomorrow. So don't do it for 15 or 20 or 30. We may not record up until maybe the 13th, 14th pick. We're going to talk after the Bengals pick and get off there, so we're not recording for 3 hours. But to make it live, pick one of them to be high. Maybe do 5 and 20 or something in that range.
I'll do 5 and 15. I'm gonna take an easy year. I'm gonna go on the easy difficulty list this year because when I started, I took 15 and 16. I started with Derwin James and Harold Landry, which I'm pretty happy with. But I really need some cornerstone players here outside of Derwin James because I've only done 1 year so far. And you're gonna do 9, so you'll get 2 live shadow draft team picks next week. No, tomorrow. Tomorrow's the draft. We're doing this tomorrow. And while we're talking about what's happening tomorrow, I mean, obviously the draft is happening tomorrow. Joe and I are going to be live. We're gonna record live. So we're going to be on. Joe, what are we going to use? We're going to use your Periscope again?
Oh, yeah, we are going to do that live. I completely forgot. Yeah, we are going to maybe do that on Periscope so people can watch us. You know what? I was just thinking we're going to record for the podcast, but.
Well, we are.
Right. I just mean I forgot we're going to do a live stream. So if you're interested in that, find us on Twitter because the link will probably be on there, right? That's how we did it last time. Periscope and Twitter can link right up.
Yeah, because you can stream it straight from your Twitter. That's how we use Periscope. We tried Twitch at first, and I know that the Draft Network and like Josh Norris have also tried on Twitch, and I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but we tried Twitch, it didn't seem to take. We'll do Periscope probably only exclusively.
Yeah.
And you guys can follow along. You can watch a draft with us there. We're going to have the draft rolling. We're going to have to find a way to mute the audio so it doesn't come through so we don't get copyright infringement issues. But we'll be live. You can hang out with us. And there will still be a podcast. So if you're worried you want to watch a draft, you don't want to hear us jibber-jabbering the whole draft, you can watch the draft and you can still download the podcast later. It'll still be available. So all those things are going to be happening. Joe, anything else we got to talk about today? It's almost draft day, man.
It is. I'm nervous, excited. It's going to be a busy day tomorrow, full day, because we both got work. We got our day jobs. It'll help make the day go by faster. But, man, yeah, I mean, I'm excited because people are going to hear our live reactions, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is going to be the first time you've done that, right? We've talked about this for a while, like watching a game. People want to watch games with us, all, you especially. I say us. I'm lumping myself into your elite company at this point. But
stop. I do think that would be fun, though, to watch games with people. That's the next. See, JP,
you got to figure out how to do it without it being illegal is the only thing.
Why does it have to be illegal?
I don't know.
Can't we just make the case that it should be awesome? Let's all do it.
You take that to Paul Tagliabue, the defunct, the no longer it's owner not, of the NFL.
Okay, I was gonna say
Roger Goodell. Paul Tagliabue was the first name that came into my head. It took me a while to get to Roger Goodell.
That's funny.
This is where we are, guys. The draft needs to come already. Like this is Paul Tagliabue, man. Kick the draft off. Let's go.
It's Christmas Eve.
We're
with the 11th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select.
This podcast has been brought to you by Abco Safety. Give them a call at 513-672-1818 and check them out online at abcosafety.com. If you do give them a call when you're placing your first order, 15% off if you mention Locked On Abco. This has been the Locked On Bengals podcast. We'll see you tomorrow on draft day, Bengals fans.